Find more State House coverage at sdpb.org.
Welcome to those joining us on the Internet and those of you in committee this morning. The Senate Commerce Committee is now called to order, and the Secretary may call the roll.
Edelstein?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Merchant?
Here.
Nesselhoff? Terbeck-Berry? Nelson?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
Quorum.
Quorum is present, and the Chair to entertain a motion to approve the minutes. It's been a motion by Senator Merchant, a second by Senator Gant to approve the minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We'll move on to the agenda as it is before us, I believe is how we're going to handle it unless something dire comes up in the midst of the other preceding bills. We'll start with Senate Bill 77. Which is an act to repeal the maximum number of off-sale alcoholic beverage licenses that may be issued to any person, corporation, business entity. Proponents for Senate Bill 77, please come forward. State your name for the record. As a reminder for those of you in the audience today, if you're going to testify as either a proponent or an opponent on one of our bills, we'd like you to sign in at the lectern in the back, and please print legibly so Lois can read those. Welcome, Senator Gant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jason Gant, State Senator, Sioux Falls. Come before you with Senate Bill 77, which is an act to change some of our liquor legislation. For those of you who were here last year, we had quite the discussion on how we were going to allow certain corporations, such as Hy-Vee, to have liquor in all of their facilities, regardless of whether they were one corporation or multiple corporations. Today, Senate Bill 77 will allow more of those types of corporations to have a liquor license or have be able to sell liquor. Senate Bill 77 does not create any additional off-sale liquor licenses. Current law sets the number of off-sale licenses available in a community, and that number is set by population, two for the first 1,000 in population and one for each 1,500 additional residents thereafter. Each municipality has the right to limit the number of off-sale licenses that it will issue each year by a resolution. Senate Bill 77 changes the current statewide cap of three off-sale licenses that a business may have an interest in. Again, this is not a citywide cap of three, but it is a statewide cap of three off-sale liquor licenses. There are currently about 26 off-sale licenses available in Sioux Falls and about five in Rapid City. Any person or any of us in this body could apply for and receive three licenses to sell off-sale alcoholic beverage products. To do so, one would simply need the City Council to approve of the proposed location and the person operating and owning the business. The liquor license application would proceed is all about local control. There's going to be an amendment to the bill that will be introduced in just a bit, and there are a number of other supporters who would like to testify in favor of Senate Bill 77, and I would stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Senator Gant. Further proponents for Senate Bill 77. Welcome, sir, and if you'd please state your name for the record.
My name is Mike Cole, and I'm a manager of the Lewis Wright Stores in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Welcome, sir.
Mr. Chairman and members of the Commerce Committee, a year ago, a bill was enacted that allowed the grocery stores to purchase or to possess many multiple liquor licenses across the state. Lewis Drug has been in business for about 63 years, and in that time, we've had to change with those times. We've had to reinvent how we do business. We've had to find new ways to make profits. As you know, the business market has become very, very tough. And in order for us to keep in that growing competitiveness, the growing market, We've had to put up with some of the competition, the competitiveness of the national big box stores, and as you know, that's not tough. We're a small group of stores, and it's not always easy to do that. And our customers today demand convenience. They demand one-stop shopping. They don't want to drive across the city in order to pick up something from one place, then drive to another. They're demanding of us more and more and more to be all to everyone. And while our business is drugstore, we still like and would wish to offer liquor licenses. Now, we do this in three of our stores now, and I'm here to tell you that not every customer wants to drive to a liquor store to purchase their liquor. There's a lot of people that shop our stores that would rather just quietly pick it up with us and save that extra run and that extra stop. So, you know, they're more and more demanding this one-stop shopping. I'm not here requesting additional liquor licenses. As Senator Gantz says, there's a system in place that already does that. But what I'm here asking is that I be allowed to also use those liquor licenses that are out there that right now only grocery stores can purchase. Now, I'm not against grocery stores. My wife happens to be a bookkeeper at Hy-Vee on Marion Road. So as you can tell, that's not my point. My point is I also want to compete in a very competitive market, and the law as it reads does not allow me to do that. It keeps me from satisfying those customers that I may have. I ask that you consider Bill 77, and basically it's just to strike the line specifying that 50% groceries is a prerequisite for these extra licenses. What this will do, it'll allow companies like me, like my company, to step in and utilize those licenses to the best benefit to our customers. I've been asked, how will that affect the little guy? You going to put him out of business? My answer is no. I checked with the Department of Revenue, and they assure me that last year that there were no liquor stores that went out of business due to this law, as they know. I also ask, and they say the renewal rate for those liquor licenses are on par with previous years. So there has been no basic change or shift in how the licenses have been renewed. And so we don't have a big influx of smaller guys going out of business, and I don't believe there will be. And here's why. A few years ago, Walgreens announced they were going to come back to Sioux Falls. They placed a store across from each of the Lewis drug stores. Now, our answer was to scrutinize their business and then to go back and analyze our business. We analyzed our strengths. We also analyzed our weaknesses. And we did some readjusting. We did some upgrades. We put in drive-in windows. The outcome of that is we're still here. We're still in business. But the winner was our customers. Our customers are very, very pleased, and we kept our customer base. They were the winners of this whole if you want to call it a competition, yes, they were the winners because they got the benefits of what we did. But we stayed in business is the main key, and we didn't go out of business because we readjusted. Lewis Drugs has approximately 900 associates in the state of South Dakota. We have 18 stores, and we're growing, which is great. We're a solid company. And in this day and age, the state of South Dakota needs solid companies to positively affect our economy, and we're here, we can do that, but we need your help. I can't do that if I have one arm tied behind my back and I can't compete equally with everyone else, every other retailer that's in the state. So I'm asking, just consider Senate Bill 77. Give us an equal chance to grow, an equal chance of opportunity to satisfy our customers and to continue to compete in the state of South Dakota. I just think it's important that we're able to do what everyone else is able to do. Thanks for your attentiveness, and I'll remain for questions if you have any.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. Are there other proponents on Senate Bill 77? Welcome.
Thank you, Senator Olson and members of the committee. My name is Jim Hood. I'm a registered lobbyist for Lewis Stores. And I had a conversation with Mr. Tim Doherty, who represents the licensed beverage dealers, and he had some concerns that he raised, and we do have an amendment that we would like to propose to Senate Bill 77. What the amendment does is strike the existing Section 2 as you find it in the printed bill, and inserts a new Section 2, which basically states that for any licenses issued after June 30th, 2009, and if those licensees derive more than 50% of their business from the sale of alcoholic beverages, the area in which they sell those beverages has to be separated by a barrier, just as was contained in the Hy-Vee bill. And that's the purpose of that amendment, and we are in agreement with that amendment and would urge you to adopt the amendment and then go on and pass the bill. We think it's important that the area where alcohol is sold and displayed, in fact, be separated by a wall or a barrier, as they currently must do in grocery stores. And with that, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I would be happy to answer any questions at the appropriate time regarding the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hood. As a courtesy to Senator Gant, Chair would entertain a motion to move the amendment at this time. There's been a motion by Senator Nesselhoff, seconded by Senator Adelstein, to move Amendment 77-FA. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes. We will now go on to further discussion of proponents on Senate Bill 77 as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, Sean Lyons, South Dakota Retailers Association. I was just reminded by my counterpart in the back of the room, Mr. Owen, to check for wardrobe malfunction, so I think all is well as I come up before you this morning. The South Dakota Retailers Association has a standing position on this legislation, as we have for almost close to 20 years now. We believe that, frankly, the legislation that passed last year was a step in the right direction, but I would tell you that the legislation that you have before you today, frankly, levels the playing field. And in terms of an organization like ours, as you know, that represents retailers of all size, both large and small, and the issue of free enterprise, this really does, in that respect, quote, level the playing field. I would tell you that last year, the legislation that went forward, some of the opponents on the legislation argued towards the end of session, when the bill looked like it was towards passage, that where were their additional liquor licenses should they wish to expand into their operations. And so I would tell you today that this is the chance for those individuals and many others around the state that are existing license holders to, in fact, add additional licenses. The regulation is the same whether you're Lewis Drug or you're Hy-Vee or you're the small liquor store in any community in this state. The rules are the same for everybody involved. There are no new licenses that are created by this legislation. You still have to purchase one either through a variety of means, either through a current license holder or what the city has available. And just for a second, let me talk about the city standards, because whomever you are in terms of retail selling this product, and it is heavily regulated, the city still sets the standards. They still say what the suitable location is for this to be sold. And so I would tell you this morning that I think this legislation, as I started, is a step in the right direction. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lyons. Further proponents of Senate Bill 77 as amended. Welcome, Mr. Owen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, David Owen, South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry. We support the bill.
Further proponents of Senate Bill 77 as amended. Seeing none, are there opponents to Senate Bill 77 as amended? Opponents. Seeing none, we will now move to questions of the committee. Seeing no questions from the committee, we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 77 as amended and move for discussion and or action.
Second.
There's been a motion from Senator Adelstein as a do-pass motion as amended. Second from Senator Merchant. The motion before us is do-pass as amended. The secretary will call the roll. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say nay.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Trebek-Berry?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Senate Bill 77 is passed as amended. There's been a motion from Senator Adelstein and a second from Senator Merchant to place Senate Bill 77 as amended on the consent calendar. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
It's not going to be on consent. We'll look forward to hearing from you on the Senate floor on that, Senator Gant. at this time, we'll stand at ease for just a moment while we make sure that Senator Hansen has arrived for Senate Bill 128. Welcome, Senator Hansen. We'll come back to order. We'll now hear testimony on Senate Bill 128, which is an act to create a limited electrician license. Welcome, Senator Hansen.
Good morning. Welcome. morning, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate Commerce Committee. I'm Tom Hansen, Senator from District 22, representing Beetle Hand and Girard Counties. And I'm here to ask your support on Senate Bill 128. It is an important modification to the section in our code to recognize a unique set of circumstances that exist within an important segment of our agricultural community. I refer to the members of our Hutterite colonies and more specifically to the credentials of their electricians and how they meet the provisions required to take the journeyman electrician exam. In Section 1, we are adding reference to a 501D electrician on line 7 of page 1. A new subsection 7 is added to Section 1, and this is shown on the bottom of page 2, carrying over to the first four lines of page 3. This is the substance of this bill. It describes the 501D electrician and outlines the fact that he is restricted to electrical work on 501D properties. That means the person is a colony member and is limited to work on within the colony. Section 4 adds a new subsection 7 that describes the biennial licensing fee of $40. This bill simply formalizes in code what we have been doing in practice. And with that, I'll stand down. I know that there are others who will be able to provide some additional background as to the wisdom of this piece of legislation and would ask for a chance for rebuttal if necessary at the end. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hansen. Are there any other proponents for Senate Bill 128? Welcome, sir. Please state your name for the record.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Sven. I'm an attorney from Aberdeen, and I represent the Hutterite colonies. What this bill purports to do is, as Senator Hansen indicated, it clarifies what is currently ongoing. Quite a few years ago, the Hutterite colonies, and I guess let me digress a moment, a 501D entity is not strictly a Hutterite colony. What it is, it's a non-profit religious entity that has a common treasury. There are about 300 of them in the United States. There are only Hutterite colonies that fit this bill in South Dakota. They're organized under South Dakota Nonprofit 47-22, and they are also family farms under the definition of the Family Farm Act in South Dakota. The 501D refers to an IRS provision. And over for 10 years or so, the colonies have been, these individuals have been obtaining what are called journeyman licenses. And we've obtained that by meeting all the requirements except the employment requirement of 4,000 or 8,000 hours. We feel, and the feeling was at the time we entered into this arrangement quite a few years ago, is that under 36-16-15, they were exempt from doing work at their own farm or residences or farmsteads, and they could do the work anyway. But everybody felt that we wanted more training. So that's why we said they could become a journeyman, but they needed to take all the testing and do everything that was required of a journeyman. We're trying to change that now a little bit to restrict these individuals and that they could only do work on a 501D entity. And they must take the tests, they must do the training, they must do the recurrent education. They meet every requirement except what they had to do in the journeyman was obtain 8,000 hours of employment. They can't do that because they can't live off the colony and be employed. So we could never meet that requirement. So we're not trying to do any work except on colonies. There are 48 individuals who fit this category at the present time. So what the purpose of this is to create the 501D requirement. They could only work at a 501D entity, which would be only another Hutterite colony, in South Dakota. This is not, there's no reciprocity. This is not entitle these people to work in North Dakota or any other state, but entitles them to work at another colony or their own colony and to do the electrical work. They work, they have to get permits. They have to be inspected. And a lot of times they do sometimes work with local contractors. One of the reasons that we need electricians is because, and I shouldn't say we, I've worked with the colonies for over 25 years, so I kind of say we. I have had one, Nancy, Senator, but not today. And they need this because the colonies, as you know, have pretty extensive turkey operations. In fact, they're the only ones in South Dakota that raise turkeys. They ultimately are the owners of the plant in Huron. And somebody asked me if this means they can do wiring at the Huron plant, the turkey plant. The answer to that is no. That is not a 501D entity. So they have these large hog barns, large turkey barns, and they need to be able to have electricians there to take care of an emergency. An example is Spring Creek Colony, about 45 miles northeast of my town of Aberdeen. The closest electrician, I think, is in Aberdeen. If they have an emergency, they need to have these guys trained to be able to take care of these so they don't lose the hogs, lose the turkeys, etc. With that, that's what the purpose of the law is, really to make sure that we have the right education. It's more restrictive than what they currently do, but makes it so that they aren't infringing on anybody else and they don't go off the colony to work, etc. With that, if there's any questions or I can answer, or I'm done.
Thank you, Mr. Sven.
Thank you, Senator.
Further proponents for Senate Bill 128. Welcome, Mr. Lynn.
How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, thanks. Thanks to
the committee. Good morning. My name is J.J. Lynn. I'm the executive director since December 1, 2008 of the Electrical Commission, and I'm here today as a proponent to Senate Bill 128. The commission basically had three concerns that were raised internally and also by the GOAC committee. The first concern was reciprocity, as you see is addressed by Mr. Sven, that the reciprocity issue has been addressed in the bill, that they cannot work out the state of South Dakota. The second one was restricted to the colonies. Also, in that same section of the bill, they are restricted to only 501D properties. The third concern that we had that's been called in from many licensees across the state is that any licensee holding a 501D license will basically be required to achieve the same requirements as set forth in the statute and rules as any other license holder in the state of South Dakota. And to summarize that is that the 501Ds, for them to move up the ladder and become journeymen, become electrical contractors, whatever the step is, they would basically have to take the same steps as any other license holder, current license holder in the state of South Dakota. All right. That's all I have. If you have questions, comments, I would be available.
Thank you, Mr. Lynn. Are there any additional proponents for Senate Bill 128? Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Todd Colden. I'm an administrator with the South Dakota Department of Labor. And as some of you may or may not know, the Electrical Commission is attached to the Department of Labor, and I'm just here to report that we fully support this bill in its current form. And I'll stand by for any questions that the committee may have.
Thank you very much. Further proponents for Senate Bill 128? Additional proponents? Seeing none, are there opponents to Senate Bill 128? Opponents? Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mark Anderson, South Dakota State Federation of Labor. I tried to get up in the middle of this proponent because we're not necessarily an opponent to this. And I know I've talked to some people on the committee about our position on this particular bill. There's been ongoing discussions about it. We're pretty comfortable with the two issues about training and safety on the colony as far as those are concerned. Our only concern is to be sure that we don't lose reciprocity with other states, because that's important to electricians. They use that reciprocity if there's not work in South Dakota to move to other states in the country to do work, and that keeps them off the unemployment rolls. So I just wanted to make that clear that we're not opposed to this bill. We think that we can work through the Electrical Commission to get this straightened out so this issue kind of goes away, because it's been an ongoing issue for quite a few years. So thank you for the time.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Additional opponents to Senate Bill 128. Additional opponents? Seeing none, we will entertain questions from the committee. Senator Adelstein.
I'll ask Senator Hansen. He can ask me tell me if I've gone to the wrong place.
Welcome again, Senator Hansen.
Good morning.
Senator Hansen, as I look at this bill, which sounds excellent to me, why on page 3, line 2, why couldn't, as we heard, that they own other properties in the state, in Aberdeen particularly, I think was mentioned, or Huron. Why couldn't we add the words, or on any properties owned by a 501 paren D?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not exactly sure what you're referring to, because each 501D entity is an entity in itself. Each of the colonies owns their own property. And so it's not a, I guess that's the best way of describing it, is each one is their own farm, consisting of anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000-4,000 acres, and probably anywhere from a dozen to 30 families, and that is what makes up that particular farm. But, you know, there's not a interrelating relationship between one colony, one farm, and another, other than the fact that, in many instances, there's relatives. Spouses may come from another county, and but that would be the the differentiation.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I wasn't clear on my question.
Senator Elstein.
Someone had referred to the fact, their attorney had referred to the fact that they own the colony itself owns a corporation or an operating turkey facility in some other community that's not on the within their own property. Why couldn't the electrician from the colony do that work in such a place? That's what I was asking. Their attorney is...
Senator Hansen, maybe Mr. Sven could better answer that if you...
Mr. Chair, I'll start, and Mr. Sven can kind of fill in the blanks. But the ownership of Dakota Provision's turkey processing plant is somewhat unique, and as he mentioned, it is not a 501D entity.
Okay.
And I guess the best way of describing it is it's a little bit like, when you buy corporate stock in a corporation. The thing that's a little bit unique with Dakota Provisions is that all of the stockholders are colonies. I think that that's reasonably correct. But, the fact that they own ownership in that piece of stock, it's a piece of paper. It's, it's not a 501D entity. So I see you standing right ready here, Jan.
Let me just address that question. First of all, the Dakota Provisions is a turkey plant in Huron, and then we kill approximately 5 million turkeys a year, and we do sandwich meat for all over the country. But that is an entity, and actually we have 650 employees there. But that is a separate entity, and that is almost all Hutterite colonies are members, but it's open to other people. We had one non-Hutterite member grower out of North Dakota who was a member, and then I bought stock. So it's not quite all Hutterites.
But we don't want to be able to wire that, okay? That's a LLC. We don't want the colonies under this license to be able to wire that. That's a separate deal. But I appreciate the interest.
Mr. Sven, could you just restate your name? So members that are listening to this or down the road, somebody archives this, then goes back in, they know who responded.
My name is Jeff Sven. I'm the attorney that's represented the colonies for over 25 years, and I should have a beard. Thank you.
Additional questions from the committee?
I have a question for the board or the department. Question was raised about reciprocity with other states. My question is, have you discussed with other states on any possible issues they may have regarding this change in our licensing?
J.J. Lynn with the Electrical Commission, we have discussed this with the other surrounding states. We are also in discussion right now at 10 o'clock today with a multi-state reciprocal agreement with the other surrounding states. And the issue that was brought up with reciprocity, if the proper procedures that have already been in place were utilized, there would not be an issue with reciprocity with the other states. And I've talked to that with the main one that was concerned was Mr. Offerdahl up in North Dakota. And by addressing this bill with that issue, they should not interrelate to each other.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman. So they don't have, North Dakota doesn't have an issue with this piece of legislation affecting any future reciprocity agreements with the state of South Dakota?
If the policies and procedures that are in place were not properly administered, it could be an issue. But as of right now, Mr. Offerdahl, in discussions with him, has stated that he does not have an issue with what we see as internal reciprocity issues of the state of South Dakota. And I don't know if I'm addressing that correctly. I should state that, and I'm not trying to dance around it, I'm just saying that we have talked to him since then, and he has not stated that he has an issue with this bill.
Mr. Chairman, any Hutterite who qualifies under this change that we're placing here, I think I heard this, but they're not allowed to, their credentials here in South Dakota won't be able to be transferred to another state.
If I may, Senator, that is correct. The 501D would be restricted to the colonies and within the state.
Thank you.
Additional questions from the committee? Seeing none, we'll close public testimony on Senate Bill 128 and allow for discussion and or action. There's been a motion by Senator Adelstein as a due pass. Is there a second? Second by Senator Merchant. We have a due pass motion in front of us. All those in favor say aye. Or excuse me, additional discussion on that? All right. Anyone that's in favor of the bill, please indicate by saying aye. Opposed, say no. Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Terbeck-Berry?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Senate Bill 128 is hereby declared passed.
Any other? So we'll move on from there to Senate Bill 187. Well, actually, we're going to move on to House Bill 1114 while we wait for Senator Roden to come testify on behalf of Senate Bill 187. We will hear now proponents for House Bill 1114. Senator Roden's not here, so we're going to keep moving. Proponents for House Bill 1114. Welcome, sir. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you. Matt Krogman, representing the South Dakota Association of Realtors. We are come here in support of House Bill 1114. It's basically a cleanup of existing statute, and the changes that we are proposing is, to be more specific, that a broker is allowed to enter into these corporations that are created for the purpose of collecting commissions, and that is on line 5 there of page 1. And then the other changes are in section 5, where we are replacing the person with licensee, to be specific that it has to be licensees who are ownerships of these corporations. So we are in support of this and hope that you can support it as well. And thank you for your time. I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you, sir. Additional proponents for House Bill 1114. Additional proponents, House Bill 1114. Welcome, sir.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Dennis Eastnick, and I am a lobbyist for the South Dakota Real Estate Commission. I am one of 5 members of the South Dakota Real Estate Commission. We have 5 members, 2 lay people, and 3 industry people. During the course of this past summer, we have worked with the industry on this particular bill, and we do support the bill. So I'll wait for any questions you might have for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Additional proponents for House Bill 1114. Additional proponents, House Bill 1114. At this time, are there any opponents to House Bill 1114? Opponents to House Bill 1114. Seeing none, we will open for any questions from the committee. Senator Edelstein.
Just a question for the proponent, please.
Again, if you just restate your name for the record.
Yes, Matt Krogman, South Dakota Association of Realtors.
I don't understand exactly why this bill is necessary. What would prevent any person from forming a business corporation or limited liability company?
Mr. Krogman.
Mr. Chairman, the intent of this bill is to specify that a broker, someone licensed as a broker, is allowed to be either form one of these corporations or be a member of one of these corporations that is created for the purpose of collecting commissions. The original legislation wasn't specific that a broker is allowed to do this, so it's cleaning up that specifically a broker can be a part of this.
Thank you.
Additional questions from the committee? No additional questions. Seeing none, we'll close public testimony for House Bill 1114 and move for discussion and or action.
Move to pass.
There's been a motion by Senator Merchant to pass, a second from, I believe, Senator Gant. Someone down there. Motion and a second is a do pass motion on House Bill 1114. All those in favor will say aye. All opposed say nay. The secretary may call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Turbeck-Berry?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Unanimous.
House Bill 1114 has received a majority of members present. There's been a motion from Senator Turbeck-Berry for consent, a second by Senator Nesselhoff. All those in favor of placing House Bill 1114 on the consent calendar indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House Bill 1114 will therefore be placed on the consent calendar. We will now revert back to
order of business, which is Senate Bill 187. Welcome, Senator Roden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I believe we have a Hog House amendment. Do we have a copy of that for the committee? Mr. Chairman, I would ask, everybody does it differently, but if it would be appropriate would it be all right to move the amendment now, or do you want to just hang on to the amendment until another time?
No, we cannot. We'd entertain it as you're the proponent of the bill, and if you're asking for this amendment, we would entertain a motion to move that at this time. There's been a motion by Senator Gant. Is there a second? To move Amendment 187JA. Seconded by Senator Nesselhoff. All those in favor of amending Senate Bill 187JA, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment carries. We'll now go on to discuss Senate Bill 187 as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Senator Larry Roden, District 29. I bring to you Senate Bill 187 on behalf of the South Dakota Association of Telephone Cooperatives. SDATC has 12 member cooperatives that provide telecommunication services to approximately 100,000 customers, mostly residing in the state of South Dakota. In the course of doing business, these telephone cooperatives from time to time have the opportunity to acquire other telephone exchanges. In the past, most telephone cooperatives desire to bring customers of the acquired exchange into the cooperative at some point in time and make them cooperative members. Senate Bill 187 would allow cooperatives to merge a subsidiary corporation into a parent cooperative, which is not specifically authorized currently in cooperative law. The Hoghouse Amendment to the bill, which came about as a result of input from the South Dakota Secretary of State's office. With that, I will turn the microphone over to others who will explain in more detail and have the ability to answer specific questions on Senate Bill 187. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Thank you, Senator Roden. We'll go on to additional proponents for Senate Bill 187 as amended. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Darla Pullman Rogers. I'm a registered lobbyist for SDATC, which is the South Dakota Association of Telephone Cooperatives. As Senator Roden stated, our member telephone cooperatives from time to time do have the ability to acquire additional business interests. And this can happen for a variety of reasons. Maybe an out-of-state company that has property in South Dakota will divest themselves of the South Dakota exchanges if they want to expand in another state. Sometimes we'll have a small family-owned company that decides to go out of business, so they will sell their company to an adjoining co-op. And when these opportunities for expansion occur, the co-ops usually keep the acquired exchanges in a separate subsidiary initially, and that's because they don't want to expose the current cooperative members to any risk as a result of expanding or acquiring the new business. But at some point in time, at least in the past, most of these co-ops desire to bring the telephone customers into the cooperative so that all of them are members of the cooperative. Some examples of that in the past is we had several cooperatives had the opportunity to purchase some Quest, it was U.S. West at that time, exchanges. And I believe at this by this time, most of those Quest exchange customers are members of the cooperative. Well, from a business perspective, there are several ways to do that. The co-op, the parent co-op, can acquire the assets of the other subsidiary, and then that other subsidiary, of course, would remain in place, and any other assets at that corporation would remain in that subsidiary. Well, under another way to handle this, and in fact under our South Dakota Model Business Corporation Act, if you have a parent company, that parent company can merge a subsidiary into the parent, and that's found in SDCL 47-1A-1105. The ability to merge a subsidiary corporation into a parent cooperative is not specifically found in statute in 4718, which is where our cooperative statutes are located. You are allowed in 4718 to merge a co-op into a co-op, but there isn't any specific provision stating you can merge a subsidiary corporation into a parent cooperative. So that's what Senate Bill 187 is attempting to do. And it adds a new section to Senate Bill 4718, and that, as I said, is a cooperative section of the code. And I'm speaking, Mr. Chair, to the Hoghouse Amendment. The first sentence of the bill, or the first part of it, actually authorizes a co-op that owns at least 90% of the shares of a subsidiary corporation to merge the corporation into itself without approval of the board of directors or shareholders of the subsidiary, unless that's required in the in the articles of that subsidiary. That language is almost mirrors 47 1A 1105, which is the Model Business Corporation Act. In the next portion of the bill, if the approval of the subsidiary is not required, then within 10 days after the merger, the co-op is required to give notice to the subsidiary's other shareholders, if there are any others, that the merger has become effective. And again, this practically mirrors the model business corporation requirements that are found in 47(1A)(1105.1). Then after the effective date of the merger, the entities that were parties of the plan of merger become a single cooperative. And again, this is similar to model business corporation provisions found in 11(1A)(1107) subparts 1 and 2. And finally, in the final section, the bill provides that the procedure to accomplish the merger of a subsidiary corporation into a parent co-op is the same procedure that you would follow if you were merging a co-op into a co-op. And of course, that's already in existing law. It's in 47(18)(1 through 5). And the procedure that you follow then in the cases of a subsidiary corporation, that subsidiary corporation is deemed to be the non-surviving co-op. So that's what the bill does. And the reason that we think it's necessary is because we believe it really makes sense for a parent cooperative to be able to merge a subsidiary corporation into itself. You can do it under the Model Business Corporation Act. We believe it makes sense. We think that in some instances, this is a good business choice for a company. A merger is a little simpler process, and when you merge two entities together, one of them then no longer exists, and the parent is the survivor of that merger. There is also a regulatory distinction or reason for this. In 4931, which is the regulatory sections that govern the Public Utilities Commission as they regulate telecommunications companies, mergers only require a notification to the PUC. An acquisition, on the other hand, where the company acquires the assets of the other company or a different telephone exchange, that requires prior approval and sometimes hearings as well. So if a cooperative wants to utilize the provisions of this new statute, if it's adopted, it will be a simpler regulatory process as well. For all of these reasons, we feel that this bill will be helpful to our member co-ops on a go-forward basis. I can give you just a couple of examples. The board of directors and members of Golden West Cooperative, headquartered in Wall, South Dakota, have approved bringing members of subsidiaries into customers of their subsidiaries into the cooperative. And Golden West has several subsidiaries, and they're all a little bit different. One of them, for example, is Kadoka Telephone Company, and that's a very small exchange. It only has telephone assets. It's just one exchange. And so they would like to at least have the option to merge Kadoka into Golden West, and then Kadoka, basically that entity would go away, and Golden West would be the survivor. Another example is Venture Communications Cooperative in Highmore. They recently had the opportunity to purchase Western Telephone Company from Faulkton. It was a small family-owned business. This just occurred within the last year, but I'm sure that at some point they are going to want to bring Western customers into the co-op, and this bill would help them as well. And there are other examples that I could give you. I apologize for the Hog House Amendment. I don't like to amend my own bill, but we had some input, very good input from the Secretary of State's office, and I believe that the bill in the Hog House is in much better shape now, and I appreciate their input. So I urge your favorable consideration of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Darla. Are there additional proponents for Senate Bill 187 as amended?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Greg Dean. I'm the Director of Industry Relations for the South Dakota Telecommunications Association. All of the member companies within SDATC are also members of my organization as well. We also incorporate several small corporately owned companies, the three municipal companies, and the tribal company within our membership as well. But we do see this as a favorable bill. It is a good, and we view it as a good move forward, a clean way to incorporate and move these entities into the parent cooperative. And we would ask your favorable approval of 187. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dean. Are there additional proponents on Senate Bill 187 as amended? Seeing none, we'll move to opponents of Senate Bill 187 as amended. Any opponents? Seeing none, we'll move to committee questions. Senator Chebec-Berry.
Just a short question for Darlene. I want to thank you for the clarity of your presentation. I genuinely appreciate it. What's the purpose for giving notice of the merger to the other shareholders?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Chebec-Berry, that provision is in the Model Business Corporation Act, and I believe that the purpose is that under the Model Business Corporation Act, they refer not to wholly owned subsidiaries, but up to 90%. So if there were 10% of shareholders out there that were not, you know, not 100% owned by the parent, I believe that notice would be to those other 10% of the shareholders, so they're aware of what's going on. That's my guess. It's under the Model Business Corporation Act.
I understand that. I mean, they aren't expected to exercise any rights or anything like that, are they?
No, they would be minority shareholders, so I think it's probably just a courtesy to let them know.
Thank you. Additional questions from the committee? Seeing no additional questions, we'll close the public testimony on Senate Bill 187 as amended and open for committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Edelstein.
This bill certainly benefits two very special places, and I really must mention the Kadoka, which is a very unusual town in our state, and the story is too long for me to tell, but it's a very wonderful place. In addition, being merged into Golden West, which is a cooperative which has an excellent reputation for high service, skilled people, good salaries, good morale, it's a wonderful idea, and I am kind of excited to be able to move due pass.
There's been a motion by Senator Adelstein as a due pass motion. Senator Gant has seconded the motion. Additional discussion? All in favor of the due pass motion on Senate Bill 187 as amended, indicate by saying aye. All opposed, say nay. And the Secretary will now call the roll.
Edelstein?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Chebec-Berry?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Senate Bill 187 is passed as amended. There's been a motion.
There's been a motion from Senator Chebec-Berry for consent, a second from Senator Gant. All in favor of placing Senate Bill 187 as amended on the consent calendar, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate Bill 187 will be on the consent calendar. Senator Nesselhoff, will you handle that in caucus for your folks? We'll now move back to House Bill 1115. Proponents for House Bill 1115, please come forward. Welcome again, Senator.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Tom Hansen, Senator from District 22, representing Beetlehand and Girard counties. House Bill 1115 is a very short bill. It really doesn't take a lot of time to explain it. It's supported by the brokers and by the Real Estate Commission. Current law requires that an applicant for a broker associate license to have 100 hours of pre-licensing education. This bill will increase that by 16 hours to a total of 116. It is the desire that this extra 16 hours will better prepare a new broker associate to function more effectively at an earlier date. Even with the increase in our pre-licensing education requirement, it is less than found in most other states. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand down for others who may wish to offer testimony.
Thank you, Senator Hansen. Additional proponents for House Bill 1115. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Matt Krogman, South Dakota Association of Realtors. We are also in support for Senator Hansen did a nice job of explaining what this bill does, and we're here to let you know that we're also in support of this. Thank you.
Additional proponents for House Bill 1115.
Mr. Chairman, Dennis Eastnick, South Dakota Real Estate Commission. Just a couple additional comments. The senator made a comment that we were behind a lot of other states. As a matter of fact, we rate 41st as far as the number of hours required for new applicants. And one of the reasons that the South Dakota Commission is supporting this is we do critiques with all of the people that go through the education courses to take the license. And those critiques over the past year have made it very clear to us that even those people taking the education and the test to become licensed see the need for additional education. The things have become a lot more complex, as you might expect. So this extra 16 hours is going to be very worthwhile. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional proponents for House Bill 1115. Seeing none, any opponents for House Bill 1115? Seeing none, we will open for committee questions. Seeing none, we'll close the public testimony for House Bill 1115 for committee discussion and or action. There's been a motion by Senator Merchant and a second by Senator Gant for do pass. The motion before us is do pass, House Bill 1115. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed indicate by saying no, and the secretary will call the roll.
Edelstein?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Terbeck-Berry?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Unanimous.
House Bill 1115 has received a majority vote of the members present and is declared passed. There's been a motion by Senator Merchant and a second by Senator Gant to place on the consent calendar. All in favor of placing House Bill 1115 on the consent calendar, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It'll be on the consent calendar. Our last order of business for the day is House Bill 1116. Welcome again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a pleasure to be able to come before your committee this morning for the third time. Tom Hansen, Senator from District 22, representing Beetle Hand and Girard Counties. We have certain expectations of a person we employ as our agent in the brokering of real estate. This bill is introduced for the purpose of strengthening the new agent in their desire to provide the best possible services to their clients. The role of the real estate broker is an important one. It is also a challenging one, as we witness many of the transactions becoming much more complex than they once were. House Bill 1116 states that any new broker associate after June 30th of this year will be required to complete 30 hours of post-licensing education during the person's first licensing period. There will be another 30 hours required in the second licensing period. The material presented in this post-licensing education will be more specifically designed to reinforce the previously experienced learning opportunities. It will take the place of the continuing education requirement that will be taken in the licensing periods following the second 30-hour requirement. The purpose of this legislation is to add to the level of professionalism desired by the broker. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand down, and there are others that would wish to offer some testimony.
Thank you, Senator Hansen. Other proponents for House Bill 1116?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Matt Krogman, South Dakota Association of Realtors. We are also in support of this bill. We think it makes sense. We think it would really be beneficial to the licensed broker associates and would urge your support of it as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional proponents for House Bill 1116. Welcome, and as a reminder, anybody that's testifying today, we'd like you to sign in as either a proponent or opponent at the lectern, and please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Karen Callahan, and I am the Education Director for the South Dakota Real Estate Commission. And I'm going to be brief because Senator Hansen did a wonderful job of explaining what this bill will do. But I would like to add that the post-licensing education requirements, the topics that we feel would be most important for new agents would be decided upon by the commission and outlined in administrative rule. And we are working, we would work very closely with the association and our educators to determine what those topics would be. And we feel it would be a benefit to consumers in the state by having better informed and better educated licensees representing them.
Thank you. Additional proponents for House Bill 1116? Seeing none, any opponents to House Bill 1116? Opponents to House Bill 1116? Seeing none, we will open for committee questions. Seeing none, we'll close committee discussion for House Bill 1116 and move for discussion and or action. There's been a motion by Senator Merchant, seconded by Senator Adelstein, is due pass. The motion before us is due pass on House Bill 1116. Those in favor say aye. Opposed indicate by saying nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Terbeck-Berry?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Unanimous.
House Bill 1116 is passed. And there's been a motion by Senator Gant, second by Senator Nesloff, to place 1116 on the consent calendar. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House Bill 1116 will go on the consent calendar. That concludes our business for the day. But before we officially adjourn, At the beginning of the meeting, I failed to introduce two very important young people that are helping us out for the next couple weeks. Audra Hewitt, who is from Nisland, South Dakota, and attends Sunshine Bible Academy. Welcome. And Mitchell Amon, who is from Aberdeen and attends Aberdeen Christian School. Thank you very much in advance for your work you're going to give us the next 2 weeks. We hope it's a rewarding opportunity for you. And with that, I would remind the committee to leave your journals, and I would entertain a motion to adjourn by Senator Nesloff, seconded by Senator Gantz. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.